You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Morning, everybody. You're bobbing your head to a little Pearl Jam this morning. Look at you.
Hell yeah, I love Pearl Jam. Not only that, this is one of the great walk-up songs of my lifetime. David Freese, 2011. This was his walk-up song.
I didn't know
that. Obviously the hometown hero for my St. Louis
Cardinals. Hold on. Sorry, guys. Did someone just get a text on here?
That was me. I'm sorry. My computer.
What are we doing?
I turned it off.
After we had a rejoin on texting etiquette, you get a text on air.
It was on my computer.
Probably perfectly timed. Well done.
Also, who's texting me at 6:01 in the morning?
Probably Nuno or Pat to create the bit.
Probably.
Was it Nuno or Pat that just texted you?
No, it was someone on my Wordle chat.
Your what?
Hold on, the Wordle chat?
My Wordle chat.
At 6:01 a.m.?
Yeah, shout out to Tommy. Got it in three
wow,
today.
Okay.
Wait a minute. You have a Wordle chat?
We might have to have a conversation with Tommy about text message etiquette. Like, why are you texting at 6:01 on the Wordle chat?
I like this guy. I'm going to tell you why.
He's
I'm
going to
read into this.
He sounds like the guy that would go grocery shopping early Saturday morning. He does, doesn't he?
He does do that? Tommy's efficient. Yeah,
confirmed.
Sure.
There you go.
Hypothetically, of course.
Yeah, hypothetically.
Here's why I like this guy. This guy, whoever this Tommy guy is,
is playing a competitive
game and letting everybody know, I won first. Take that.
Well,
right?
He doesn't know if he won. You know,
he's the first one that texted.
I could get it in two today and actually beat him.
Oh, so it's not who does it first. Who does it?
Less moves.
I don't like this guy as much.
Yeah.
You got to wait then.
I play Wordle. I do the New York Times Daily or the mini crossword puzzle, and I do connections, and then I'm sad for the rest of the day.
Do you have three separate group chats for those?
No, we just have one Wordle chat. You send your score every day to hold each other accountable. Hey, I did it. And then we complain about the word. Oh, double E today. I can't believe it.
Okay.
And then I will do connections and the crossword puzzle on my way home from work. And then I'm bummed out that it's over and there's no more games to play.
My wife does the same thing. She plays all these games and I don't understand it for the life of me.
Wordle?
I don't get why you're playing these games. I don't get it. Is it like that fun to play these word games?
It's good. It's
really
fun. It's good for your brain.
Do you do any of it, Cece?
No, my wife does. Now, Wordle is the one where they have the green and the yellow letters, and you have to figure out the order of the letters they give you. Okay, got it. Yeah.
Wordle I think there was an NBA one for a little bit.
It seems like it's fun. It's more thinking than I care to do when I'm not at work.
Yes.
So that's why I shy away from it. Yeah.
I'd be thrilled to add you guys to the Wordle chat.
I'm good.
I just got it in four, Michelle.
Oh, you got it in four today. Okay, I'll do it in the break and see if I can beat you, Pat.
I did not have Pat
on the board as a Wordle guy.
Oh,
he
totally.
Just bragged that he lost.
No, I know, but
no,
Tommy won.
Well, the whole goal is like to beat the computer, right? To beat the AI.
I mean, it's just to get it done
by the end.
Yeah, but you always want to get it done in fewer moves than the actual AI does.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure for a while there was an NBA one that was Pirtle, like Jakob Pirtle. They named it after him, the center for the Raptors.
Yeah, he gets dunked on often. Yeah.
No, I'm serious. I think there's literally an NBA one. But you know what I do a lot, and I love it. I feel like Pat probably does this. All of the grid, like the NBA grid, the hoop grid, and the baseball grid. Have you ever done those?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Same.
Oh, my God. They're the
about.
Greatest things in the world. So basically,
Never heard of it.
Maybe Mark could put it up on the
never
TV side.
Heard
yes,
of it.
You've never heard of hoop. Okay, so basically,
I'm going to tell you.
What's it called? Hoop grid?
Well, that's one of them. Okay,
so you're talking about the immaculate grid.
Immaculate grid. Yeah. But
I
do a lot of the hoop. Immaculate grid. Basically, so what they have is like a grid of nine different boxes and then categories where it'll be like people use you all the time, Cece. So it'd be like. 10 years in the NFL, played for the Ravens, right? And you have to find somebody, and you're trying to find the rarity score to get the most random of people within that grid.
That's great. That's great. People use you all the time. The rando guy that plays on the Ravens.
No, I'm saying that you. That's not what I meant.
Well, that's what it sounded like.
People are always guessing. Yeah,
people
are
always
Chris
using you. They're trying to. You want it to be random AF,
right?
And that's what we're gonna do.
Right. Okay,
we're gonna use Chris Canty.
I always start
with
Chris.
Because it would be random as hell.
So on Wordle, a lot of people start with the same word every day. Mine is trash because it has a T, R, S, you know, a vowel in there, letters that are used. So maybe people are starting their grid with Chris Canty every day.
I don't know how to feel about that though. I just don't.
You should feel proud because it means that you have characteristics with your resume
that
are phenomenal, right?
Yeah.
Super Bowl winner, 3 different teams, 10 years
plus. But the objective is to maximize their points by finding the random person.
Right, you're not random enough in that spot. But I'm saying people have used you.
This sounds like the walk back now.
You're not random enough.
You're random, but you're not random enough.
Correct.
My dream in life would be to be able to be on Immaculate Grid. That means you play professional sports. That'd be unbelievable.
For a long time.
Yeah, for
eight
a long time.
Interceptions, never played in the NFL.
Wait, Pat, make it worse. 8 interceptions in one game. 8 interceptions a lot of people had, but in one game makes it even worse. All right. Anyway, we are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Last night, something happened that one of the great players in the NBA history did not want to happen. Kevin Durant went back to Brooklyn as part of the Phoenix Suns, of course, and his team beat the Brooklyn Nets 136-120. Why are we bringing that up? KD specifically said, I don't want a video tribute. The Nets gave him a video tribute. Kevin Durant looked like someone punched him in the face during the video tribute. He was miserable. And video tributes have gotten so ridiculous and so out of control in sports and specifically the NBA. And yet KD, whose team in Phoenix, his big three there with Bradley Beal and Devin Booker, played more games together than his big three in Brooklyn with Kyrie and James Harden.
As of last night.
That was the clincher.
What is it, 17 games together?
17 to 16.
Versus 16, and a part of that 16 was 4 in the playoffs?
Correct.
Where they got swept by the Boston Celtics? So I guess I understand where KD is coming from, because what the hell are we celebrating with the video tribute in Brooklyn? What did you do?
Kevin Durant
is the face of one of the biggest failures in roster construction in NBA history.
Yep.
Why would you want to...
You don't
want to
honor that?
Why would you want to bring that back? Why would you want to acknowledge that at all? Like, that, like, to me, that's one of those things that you want to wash over. That 4-year stint that he did in Brooklyn, let's let everybody forget about that based on what I did in Golden State and what I do in Phoenix in the coming years. Nobody wants to think back to the Brooklyn years, because Kevin Durant was supposed to be the one that was the main architect in putting this thing together. This was supposed to be his version of a super team, just a little what LeBron did in Miami with Wade and Bosch. And it failed miserably. So I can understand completely where KD is coming from.
But the standard's been set for ridiculous. Because I said to you guys the other day in passing, I'm like, what are the Knicks going to have one for Emmanuel Quickly and RJ Barrett? And then Nuno, our producer, is a Knicks fan, is like, well, they actually did have one. So can we set the unsportsmanlike rules for video tributes? Like, I'll throw this out there. A guy gets a video tribute when he goes back to a city if he plays at least a decade or... championship or award. Is that fair?
You're talking about an MVP.
Yeah.
What about defensive player of the year?
I don't know. A decade feels
like
a long time.
What about all NBA team?
I'm still here. Okay. You want to put that on the rules?
Yeah, all NBA team.
All right.
Like, if it's any of those things that would qualify you for the Supermax contract, then maybe, just maybe, you deserve to have a video tribute.
You know what? I'm going to pause you. Stop you on that one. Well, let's make sure Durant didn't have all NBA when he was with the Nets, because we're saying, I think we got to go higher than that for video tribute. Like, because there are rules. Like,
well, I guess here's the thing. It might not be a hard and fast rule. It has to be a sliding scale, just because when you assemble 3 future Hall of Famers and 2 guys that have MVPs in the trophy case, the assumption should be
something.
That you would win more than one playoff series.
Yes.
Like, if your ceiling was the second round, then you have to call it a failure, especially since they didn't play that many teams together. So I think even if you qualify for all of those different accolades based on what's around you, I think we have to gauge that before we judge whether or not we'll give you a video tribute.
Yeah, this one also is confusing to me because in addition to honoring the player and welcoming them back to where they once played, it's for the fans, too. It's for the fans to celebrate the era in which that player played. Hey, you gave us good memories. We want to honor you in this moment. I don't know how many Nets fans are like, yeah, I really want to celebrate the KD era. If anything, they probably have resentment over that era and how it played out. So that one was confusing to me because he didn't want it, and it wouldn't seem to me like the fans would really want it.
What's the number? Because you said when we said a decade, you're like, I don't know if we need to be that long.
Just with player movement,
so what do you
right
want
now
it to be?
Maybe like 5 years, 5 to 7 in that range.
So at least 5 years? Are we in on that? CC, you in on that for the video tribute rules for unsportsmanlike here? At least 5 years, or do we want to go longer than that?
No, I think it has to be a decade.
Wow, really?
I think it has to be a decade.
That's a long time to be with one team in the modern sports world.
All right, can I compromise?
But the video tribute has to mean something, though. Like, a part of what made it interesting for Dame going back to Portland for the first time was because he was loyal to the soil, and he stayed there probably longer than he should have.
Yeah.
But the fans appreciated that. And you saw that there was the one fan that sits courtside and has been sitting courtside for years. Them had that embrace pregame.
Yeah.
Like, that's special. Like that deserves a video tribute.
So
Kevin Durant and what he did to the Brooklyn Nets does not deserve a video tribute.
How about this? Can I split the difference and say this? Mathematically, it's not, but you'll understand. 6 years. 6 years means you have to sign a second contract. Because you can only sign as much as 5 years with a team.
Okay.
Right? In some cases, a six-year means, all right, I'm signing again with you. So how about at least 6 years?
Okay.
And a title or a spot in the finals? Taking them to the finals? Like, Durant fits none of this. Yeah, Emmanuel Quickly fits none of this.
Finals,
so finals, so 6 years or more, finals are better.
Yeah.
MVP or an MVP.
Yes.
Do you want Defensive Player of the Year in there?
I feel like if you're Defensive Player of the Year, you're first team all NBA, then we can entertain the idea of it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Those things are case by case basis.
Yeah.
I think it's on the board if you have those types of accolades, but there has to be more. But if you win an MVP, if you get to
you're good.
If you get to the finals, then yeah, you check the box.
Not if you're there for a couple of weeks and then you come back.
No.
Dennis in California listening on Sirius XM80. What's up, Dennis?
Morning, guys. How are you doing?
Morning.
So on the Kevin Durant situation, I think somewhat you need more than that. You have to actually contribute to the city, and we just gonna leave it there. And Kevin Durant, outside of Oklahoma City, didn't really contribute to any city. But my main concern is Canty.
What's
you
up?
Offended. When you said it's like the guy that gets up on Saturday morning at 6 a.m. to go to the grocery store, I was sitting here like, he's talking about me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm offended.
Oh, yeah. Hit dog a holler. Hit dog a holler, Dennis.
Hey, I mean, well, I'm just saying. I'm feeding the family early in the morning, making sure they can eat.
Dennis, I feel you, and I'm with you. Listen, I'm getting up early every single morning, but when I get the weekends, when I don't have to work, let me tell you what I'm not going to do. Go to the grocery store at 6 o'clock in the morning.
No, we're sleeping.
But the guy that goes to the grocery store at 6 o'clock in the morning is also the guy that's hitting up Smalls on the group chat for Wordle at 6:01 a.m. on a Thursday.
It's a rise and grind for Tommy, you know?
Yeah, I'm so excited about using Wordle to start my day. I got to text the group chat, and I need Smallman to see this right as she comes on air.
You need all
I'm sorry, you're doing
it.
A little too much. And Dennis, if that's you, bro, you're doing a little too much. I'm not telling you to change. I'm just telling you so you have some awareness. You might be doing a little too much. That's all.
I got to tell you, I want to meet this Tommy. I know Drake has no new friends later in life, etc.
Yeah.
Tommy and I need to be friends.
Tommy watches the show every day.
Hey, Tommy.
Here's the other thing I want to do for Dennis. They have this invention called Instacart. Like you can literally go grocery shopping from your bed.
Nope.
And it's delivered to your door.
And it's delivered to your door.
Not the same.
Yeah, all you have to do is pay a membership fee every year. That's it. Like, go ahead and do that. You can Instacart things so you don't have to get out of the warmth of your bed at 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
But sometimes,
because who wants to do that?
But sometimes they don't pick the right produce.
Well, okay, so if you want to separate produce shopping, that's cool.
Sometimes
but you
the
don't,
avocado
but if you're only produce shopping, do you have to do that at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning?
You definitely do not.
DoorDash steaks. What are you talking about?
It's Uber Eats, but yeah, I mean, that happens.
Whatever.
That's happened.
Well, we're that's telling happened. You how to food shop. And how the NBA should handle video tributes. Micah Parsons is telling the Dallas Cowboys how to operate their team. We'll get to that next. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do.
big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
So much conversation about the Dallas Cowboys. So much of it self-created with Jerry Jones's comments. But wait, there's more. We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if you could save hundreds on your car insurance. You can chime in on Twitter, by the way, at UnsportsESPN, at Evco Radio for me, at M Smallman, at CCanty99, right? Or ChrisCanty99. Mm-hmm. On the criteria and the rules for the video tributes, because everyone gets one in the NBA. And Kevin Durant's one of the greatest players ever, but he's like, please don't do this. And they did it.
Yeah.
So we have the rules, at least 6 years with the team, at least a spot in the finals, and an MVP award.
Can we add one more to that list?
Of course.
If the player says, I don't want it, then don't do it.
Yes, I agree with that. Like, there's a requisite level of respect. And if the player is saying, I don't feel respected, if I don't want this, and you do it anyway,
yes,
then you should probably avoid doing the video tribute. That's a great call by that one.
Is there any team, just very quickly, that you would say, all right, if they're going to give me a video tribute, I would understand if. Like, if the Giants, you want a Super Bowl video tribute for you? Or yeah, would you feel weird about it?
I'll take a video tribute where I can get it.
You go right back to the Cowboys.
The Giants want to give me one, the Ravens the next week, and the Cowboys the following week. Cool. See, I'm on tour. I'm on tour for video tributes. Let's do it.
Smile and wave.
Let's do it. Can we start a petition, the Chris Canty video tribute petition? Can we do that?
I will sign right now.
Yeah, I mean,
You're a lot more accomplished than some of the randoms I get.
Probably not going to work out with the New York Giants just because, like, my key card doesn't work over there anymore. I haven't said some flattering things about it in the last couple of years.
But you have the ring.
But I got the ring. Cowboys, Ravens, can we get a little video?
I think Ravens are most likely.
Yeah, I would love that.
Ravens would be most likely.
I would love that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Jimmy Johnson just got in the Ring of Honor down there.
Yeah, so, and if anyone listens to it,
there's a high bar to clear with the Dallas Cowboys.
Let's take the show on the road. I've never been to Baltimore. I would love to.
Oh, you're saying if anybody's listening to what I say about the Cowboys?
I mean, if you think you're too critical of the Giants...
Yeah.
I mean, the Cowboys.
I mean, I don't think I am. The Giants think I am.
Okay, but what about the Cowboys?
Probably right.
Yeah. Ravens.
You're probably right.
You know what? You're a Raven. We've just decided.
He's a Raven. Even though I got a ring with the Giants, I'm a Raven.
Yeah. Okay.
There we go.
All right.
It's settled.
Well, if the Cowboys are about to listen to him, I promise you they're not going to get a video tribute here. Micah Parsons is awesome, right? Even the guy who's not going to get a video tribute has said he's awesome. He's got a podcast, The Edge, with Micah Parsons, and he had some thoughts on Jerry Jones' comments about the Cowboys going all in.
Sitting here, and, you know, they're talking about we're going all in this year, man. That's what I would hope for. You know, I'm 24 years old. I've been in this league, you know, 3 years, and I kind of seen it all, and I hope that we go all in. I hope that we go out and get the players that we're missing because we didn't do that this year. You know, I hope that we challenge ourselves, become better, and become greater for us.
I'm sorry. 3 years in, you've seen it all? Guys, we're 5 months into this show. I know everything there is to know. I mean, there's nothing about ESPN Radio that I don't know. I'm 5 months in. I mean, that's all I 3 months, 3 years in?
And 24 years old.
You've seen it all?
Doesn't that sound like something a 24-year-old would think, though?
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
I'm going to give a little grace on that because I probably thought the same way.
No question about it. No, you did not.
At 24, you did not think, I've seen it all in this world. There's just no way. I know how great he is. That is as ridiculous a comment. What's going on in Dallas? Jason Kidd is comparing Luka to Michael Jordan, and Micah Parsons is saying at 24 he's seen it all. Give me a break.
Must be something in the water.
I mean, seriously.
But he certainly did put his front office and his team on notice, no?
He sure did.
When he said, I hope we go out there and we get the players that we didn't get in 2023, he's saying that I think that there was more you could have done to make us better.
And absolutely. And when I'm sitting across from him at the negotiating table, if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm going to play back that sound and say, hey, bro, I know you want to be the highest paid defensive player of the year, but if you want me to go out and do what you said, which is get all of these other players, then I'm going to need for you to give me a hometown discount, which I'm sure that Micah Parsons has no intention of doing. All you got to do is read the tea leaves with his brother, Terrence Parsons. Right. He's talking about Dak Prescott taking a little bit off the top to make sure that we leave room for Micah. Micah's going to get paid north of $35 million a year.
But who does he want?
But I guess my whole point is this. He's accounting for $5 million on their salary cap next year. That's going to be a lot bigger number if they give him that contract extension. That is going to limit what the Dallas Cowboys
lesser
can
players.
Do. It's lesser players. Like, I guess extending CeeDee Lamb can lower his cap a bit. Extending Dak Prescott can lower his cap a little bit. But, I mean, in order to go out and make those moves, there are going to have to be sacrifices that are made. They're going to have to be other positions or other groups on the team where you engaged in cost-cutting measures, whether that's drafting a guy and getting rid of high-priced veterans or getting lesser players overall. Either way, you can't have a perfect roster, which is why it's important to develop the right type of culture, the right type of chemistry that allows everybody to be at their best once we get to the postseason. And that has been the thing that has eluded the Dallas Cowboys over the last 3 years. And quite frankly, if you're going into this season with a lame duck coach and a lame duck quarterback, I don't know how those things get fixed. I don't know how the questions about the quarterback and the questions about the head coach go away.
You know what else is not getting any better is the fact that so many players or people connected to the Dallas Cowboys, whether it's ownership or family members, are speaking out about this publicly. Yep. It feels like a lot of finger pointing. And to me, if I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, instead of everyone wanting to air out their grievances publicly, like this is Festivus, how about you get back to work? How about you say, you know what? I could have done better. I'm a part of this because we're a team. And, you know, regardless of what happened around me, I need to get back to work and do better to make sure that this never happens again, to make sure when we get to the playoffs again, especially if it's in our building, that this doesn't happen again. But instead, everybody can't wait to grab a microphone and point the finger at somebody else. And that is not a good sign.
Absolutely not. And now, here's the thing. I'm glad that they're doing all this talking because it's great for our show. So I appreciate it. Micah, I appreciate what you do on the Edge podcast. Jerry Jones with your weekly hit on local radio shows. You know, CeeDee Lamb, Mama, appreciate you too for calling Dak out. All of that stuff. Tad Prescott, appreciate you too. Like, we want all of them to keep talking because it's great for unsportsmanlike and it's great for the company. But it doesn't lead to the Dallas Cowboys' ultimate goal, which is holding up the Lombardi Trophy. And you're making Mike McCarthy's job harder with all of the noise around this team. And, Ev, I just don't know how you put the genie back in the lamp when the owner is the one that sets the tone with all of the talking that he does in the media.
You don't. That's the culture that they have. That's the way in which they operate their business, which is very successful financially. But Dominique Foxworth joined us yesterday, ESPN NFL analyst, and had a great comment about there's two businesses that simultaneously operate in most sports franchises. One to make money and one to win games. And the best ones are the ones that can figure out a way of merging those two. What the Dallas Cowboys right now are doing is making money. They're constantly the most interesting team in all of sports because of this. That doesn't equal winning games, right? The Kansas City Chiefs, I'm sure, are making a ton of money and winning games.
No doubt.
Right? They have ways of Travis Kelce speaks every single week on his podcast and doesn't create the drama, and he's playing and dating Taylor Swift, and there's less drama with him than there is with the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, the New England
right now.
Patriots became what? The third most valuable franchise in the National Football League, and they had an unprecedented 2-decade run of success
without what we're seeing right now.
Well, without it getting out in public. Now, there was plenty of drama behind the scenes. Like, you read the Seth Wickersham articles and all
right,
that.
Right, but Robert Kraft's not doing weekly media.
But they kept it in-house for the most part. Right.
It wasn't in the headlines.
No, the Dallas Cowboys can't wait to air the dirty laundry.
That's right.
And I just don't understand what part of the game is that when you're trying to compete for a championship. You actually need these people that are in the building. The only people that can help you do the job are the people that are in the organization. So I don't understand why you're running to everybody else to complain about what the other person in the building is doing. It makes no sense.
How about them Cowboys? Coming up, could the Cowboys actually factor into the QB carousel this offseason? We'll dive into that. But first, CC has this from Granger.
Oh, yes, for the ones who get it done. Not like the Dallas Cowboys who don't get it done in the playoffs. Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Is that enough millies for what Dak is going to get? I don't know if we're up to the amount of millies. No, we need more millies. No. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. So QB carousel conversation has started already when it comes to the NFL, as we're going to have a lot of carousel. We have coaching carousel. Mike McDonald, obviously, gets the job in Seattle, the defensive coordinator for the Ravens. We've got the NBA player carousel, potentially, with the trade deadline next Thursday. But people are already buzzing about where QBs could go, because we have suggested that maybe, possibly, Dak Prescott, if the deal doesn't present itself to him this offseason, could potentially ask out. That doesn't mean he's going to leave. That doesn't mean he's going to get traded. It doesn't mean that he won't play for the Dallas Cowboys in week one. But it's not impossible to think that he could factor into the QB carousel. Well, ESPN.com, NFL Nation reporters put out a story over the last 24, 48 hours or so about the QB carousel. And we're going to go through it. You like it or don't like it in terms of the hypothetical fit. First one is Justin Fields. They have to the Bears. To the Raiders. That would be weird.
To the Bears.
To the Raiders. Like it or not?
I don't hate it. I just think there's a better fit for Justin Fields.
Which would be?
Which would be the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes, that's where I would like
I think
to go
the Steelers are a better fit just because of them going out and getting offensive coordinator Arthur Smith, who had success with the quarterback. That was athletic with utilizing RPOs as a big part of their run game. So Ryan Tannehill had success, had a career year under Arthur Smith. I think he could do a similar thing in Pittsburgh with Justin Fields' skill set. So I like Justin Fields with Pittsburgh more than I like him with the Raiders. Although I think it would work with the Raiders, I think it would be better for Justin Fields with the Steelers, a more functional franchise.
Yeah, Pittsburgh or Atlanta were the two places that I had circled for Justin Fields. I think that his skill set would fit on both of those teams looking for a quarterback. And I think him going to either one of those destinations would be a great fit for both sides.
The next one that they suggested is one that I think, boy, if he can play, this would be really interesting. And I think he can. Russell Wilson to the Falcons. Assuming he gets released, they have the hypothetical of a three-year, $36 million deal, $20 million guaranteed, which means basically a 1 to 2 year deal if he's not what you hope he is. But Russell Wilson with Bijan Robinson and Drake London and Kyle Pitts and I don't know, that division, which is not unbelievable.
His wife going back to her hometown.
Sure. Factor that in. That's
He'd
great.
He'd be happy about that. Happy wife, happy life.
I mean, I know that I'm way more pro Russell Wilson than most. I think he had a much better season than people give him credit for because of the benching at the end.
Sure.
I kind of love this idea.
I know this is going to sound crazy to float this out there. Is Atlanta big enough for Russell Wilson?
With where we are now with Russell Wilson, I think so.
No, I mean, I'm just saying with other opportunities potentially on the board. I mean, Las Vegas is going to be looking for a quarterback, not unless they have conviction about AOC. I mean, if Russell Wilson is on the board for the Las Vegas Raiders and they don't have to pay a whole lot of money, Russell Wilson could sign for the veteran minimum knowing that the Broncos have to pick up the rest of the tab, then why wouldn't that be a consideration? I mean, when you start talking about the cost-benefit analysis and addressing that position and the alternatives, Russell Wilson is a great option. Because of the contract, it becomes much more valuable, much more palatable to take on Russell Wilson. Again, this is not going to be a team that is QB-driven. It's going to be around the skill position players. It's going to be around the defense. But if you insert Russell Wilson to what they already got cooking on that offense with the Las Vegas Raiders, I think it would be a great fit.
I don't love him in Atlanta. I would prefer someone like Justin Fields there. I mean, he's entering his age 36 season. And with all the young talent there, I just would think that Justin Fields would slide in and potentially they could grow together for a longer period of time.
I'm totally making an assumption on this, but for whatever reason, I don't see Russell Wilson and Antonio Pierce as a fit. I don't know why. It just doesn't feel...
It doesn't feel like AP. It doesn't. It doesn't. I'm not going to lie to you. It doesn't.
It doesn't. And, like, you know, I think the quiet nature of Atlanta in this specific scenario would actually make more sense. Like, you guys know I've been hyping Raheem Morris. Like, I love Raheem Morris's resume to get to this point. I love the fact that he's had an opportunity as a head coach. I love the fact that he's coached on offense and defense, and he's worked for McVay. Like, I love how Raheem Morris got back to being a head coach. Does anyone know what he sounds like? He's quiet. I think that's what Russell Wilson needs. I don't think he needs Pete Carroll or Sean Payton anymore. I think he needs the guy that shows up to work, under the radar, players love, and that's it. Like, I actually love this hypothetical here.
But if he goes somewhere where the head coach does fly under the radar and isn't as vocal, is he going to kind of go back to his old ways?
Yeah, and does the team take on his personality more so than the coach's personality?
Yeah. Are we back to Mr. Unlimited? That's what I think. If you're a team, you kind of want to avoid is that version.
And that's fair. The next one, Kirk Cousins, ESPN.com has him re-signing with the Vikings. That seems like all the signs are pointing in that direction, right?
I think they have to. Not only is he a great option for them when healthy, but the way that they respond to him and the way that they rally around him, even when he's not out on the field, tells me something if I'm the Vikings. And I know he is in, you know, concert with his head coach there who loves him. I just think that it would be foolish for the Vikings to let Kirk Cousins go.
Yeah, I mean, when we heard what Kirk Cousins was rumored to be looking for, I think that's a reasonable contract. And I think the reason why he would be reasonable, even under the circumstances, is because he likes it in Minnesota. I mean, where else is he going to spend all his Kohl's cash? Like, it just makes sense for Kirk Cousins to stay with the Minnesota Vikings because of the supporting cast that they've been able to put around him and the synergy that he's been able to develop with Kevin O'Connell. Yeah. This is a pretty damn good offense. They got some issues that they've got to fix on the other side of the ball. But with Kirk Cousins as the trigger man, you feel good about what Minnesota is capable of doing. Remember, Minnesota gave San Francisco all they wanted and beat them at home at earlier in this season. And San Francisco's playing for the Super Bowl. Yeah. Like, so, I mean, like, they're capable of playing up to that level. So I like the fit of Kirk Cousins staying in Minnesota. It just seems like something that makes sense for both sides.
I agree with you. I do think if Belichick was a head coach, I could have seen Kirk Cousins getting excited to play for Belichick. Like, that wouldn't have surprised me if he's like, no, I want to go play for... He would have asked for the same money. It's not like he's going to ask for a discount in that spot.
Yeah, but I mean, he's looking for $90 million guaranteed and an average annual value of $45
million. He's worth that in today's age.
Oh, no doubt. Like, I mean,
if healthy, obviously.
That's a reasonable contract. Yeah. I mean, even coming off of the injury, that's a reasonable contract.
Right, I agree with you.
We live in a world where Daniel Jones is making $40 million a year.
Right, so Kirk Cousins is significantly better. Kirk Cousins, when healthy, statistically has been a top 10 quarterback over the course of however many years in the NFL. More than one, let's put it that way.
Here's the thing. They were a top 10 offense and Kirk Cousins played in eight games.
Yeah,
they were a top 10 offense this year and he played in eight games.
And they had multiple starters after him, and Hall and Dobbs, and they were all over the place in terms of their starting quarterback. So outside of Dak, who we've suggested maybe does the NBA ask out, is there any other quarterback that we could see going into this offseason that could NBA-style ask out? Anyone that could say, you know what, this is just not a fit, that we would care about, that say, it's not a fit, or I'm not getting the deal I want. Is there any other hypothetical ask out outside of Dak? Or is he the only one we're going to look at?
I'm curious what the Arizona Cardinals do with Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. Because he's a guy that everybody's kind of floated out there. Like, they don't know if they actually like him. Remember how clunky it was when they gave him the contract extension and they had the study clause in there. You know, they've got a top five pick. It's a quarterback-rich draft. I mean, they would be within striking distance if they wanted to move up and get somebody. So I'm curious to see how that thing goes with the Arizona Cardinals. Because everybody is already slotting in Marvin Harrison Jr. Yes. Because the quarterbacks are going to come off the board 1, 2, 3. I just don't feel like it's going to go down that way. And somebody's going to fall in love with one of these young players at the quarterback spot in the pre-draft process. And I'm not sure that it wouldn't be the Arizona Cardinals.
What you just said is what I believe should happen. I don't think it will. I think every sign is pointing towards them believing that Kyler Murray is their franchise quarterback. And I personally do not buy that he is going to be. And I think what you just said is exactly what the Cardinals should be looking at. How much will it take to move up one or two spots, if it's even possible? And how much could we get if we just floated the concept, hey, Atlanta, Kyler could be available, just throwing that or any other team.
Listen, in the scenarios that were thrown out on ESPN.com with the quarterback carousel, yeah, they were saying that Justin Fields is going to go for a 2 and a 7. If Justin Fields is going for a 2 and a 7, then what is Kyler Murray going for?
I'd rather have Justin Fields, personally, than Kyler Murray.
Okay. Walk me through that one.
Bigger, stronger, higher upside, less worrying about the study clause and all that kind of stuff. I have more faith in Justin Fields than I do Kyler Murray.
Well, Justin Fields hasn't played a whole season healthy.
I understand that. I don't have the faith
at
in
least,
Kyler Murray.
I get that, like, Kyler Murray got hurt, but at least we've got proof of concept. Kyler Murray has multiple seasons where he's been fully healthy.
But like, if you can get more
than playing
that.
In a playoff, he started a playoff game. Think about it. He got the Arizona Cardinals to a place after having the number one overall pick 3 years later where they were in a playoff game.
Yeah, both are similar in a lot of ways. They both have really intoxicating skill sets and a lot of upside that they haven't matched. They both are relatively young. I just think that you can make a lot of parallels for both of those guys.
Sure, but here's the great thing about Kyler Murray and why I would give him the edge. The guaranteed money of the contract has already been paid out by Arizona. He's locked in now. Like, you don't have to worry about that. Like, they've already taken the hit and paid him, so he's under contract for several more seasons. Mm-hmm. Whereas Justin Fields, you got to make a decision on his fifth-year option, which is $22 million, this offseason. And then it's only going to get more expensive from there. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, if you're asking me, I would rather have Kyler Murray than Justin Fields. I think Kyler Murray is more of a proven quarterback. I think Kyler Murray is just a better talent. But, I mean, here's the thing. There could be a scenario where teams float out Kyler Murray and say, hey, look, give me a second-round pick and a third-round pick, and you can have Kyler Murray, and then I can use that draft capital to move up a couple of spots to get the quarterback that I'm looking for. And it ends up being cheaper in terms of what I'm allocating for salary cap dollars if you're the Arizona Cardinals. To me, that's a scenario that's completely plausible this offseason.
We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Is the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tune in to NBA action tonight. Celtics and the Lakers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 7 p.m. Eastern here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Got a little chingy for Smalls.
That's right. Shout out to Chingy.
St. Louis, yeah.
Yeah, one of the St. Louis Cardinals. Yeah. I saw him one time outside of a hotel. I was going to Isaac Bruce's charity gala, and I'm waiting for somebody to come get my car at valet, and this was, maybe early 2010s when social media just was becoming a thing, and there was a guy who was taking pictures of his girlfriend, like a great Instagram boyfriend, and I was like, yeah. He was like, get the angles, really helping her out. I was like, yes, what a great boyfriend. I look over, it's Chingy. He was taking pictures of his girl.
Absolutely. The angle is so important. You got to be able to get down on one knee if you need to.
That's right.
Just make sure you frame it up that way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you got to, that's really love.
Yeah.
Like, that's a love language for women, being able to get the right angles for the picture for social media.
If you can get the shot, you get some points. That's
great. Instagram boyfriend.
I don't know if it was a husband, but he was just so great in taking the photo for a lovely lady.
Like, that's part of the 2024 boyfriend responsibility, is being a great Instagram boyfriend.
No doubt about it.
You didn't see all the memes of Jay-Z when he was following Beyonce on the Renaissance tour filming her, and they were like, Jay-Z, elite Instagram husband?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
It's a thing.
Okay.
It's a thing. Now, I got to dive a little bit deeper. Isaac Bruce charity gala?
Yes.
Did we see an appearance of the Chevelle Supersport that Nelly had in the Country Grammar video that was painted like the Rams helmet?
Oh, we did not.
We didn't see that?
But that was iconic.
God, that was a whole moment, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh, that car? Unbelievable.
Go back and watch the Country Grammar video in today's world through today's eyes, it's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
Why does that guy have a huge iguana on his shoulder? Like,
but
what is happening?
It was great, though. It was great. It was so good.
Oh, St. Louis was on top of the world then. The Rams won the Super Bowl. You had the home run chase. Nelly was on top of the world. Chingy was popping off. Jaquan. I mean, man, we were.
Somebody decided that you guys can't have nice things, though. They just
took it was Stan Kroenke.
They took your football team from you.
He ruined
it. It's not somebody. It's Stan Kroenke.
Specifically, it's Stan Kroenke. We do have a face.
But you did blame Jerry Jones, too, though. He's a part of it.
He was the orchestrator of
all
of this.
Why are you getting her started on this? Here she goes.
When Jerry wants something,
video tribute. Yeah.
When Jerry wants something, he gets it, unless it's a Super Bowl, which seems to elude him right now.
Oof. Speaking of
bang, shots fired.
Lindsay in North Carolina on Sirius XM 80 joins us here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. What's up, Lindsay?
What's going on, family? Hey, Smalls.
What's up?
Be nice. Look. I agree with everything you're saying with the video montage, but I'm going to add one more. You got to doggone be like, you got to have more oohs for the crowd than oops.
Oh.
The red had more oops. Like, oh, my bad. I mean, that you gotta have some doggone moments that are like, oh, yeah, not, oh, man, dang.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of looking
good
at it. More oohs than oops. Because this conversation started based on the fact that Kevin Durant said to the Nets, please don't show a tribute video for me when I come back. He came back last night. They show a video tribute. It's much different than Dame getting a video tribute in Portland, because we put rules and regulations on it. We said at least 6 years with the team.
Yeah.
You've got to have an MVP. Or you've got to go to the finals or win it all.
Yeah, and I guess a part of being able to earn a video tribute is having that memorable on-court moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the most memorable, and it's got to be a positive moment.
Yeah.
The most memorable on-court moment for Kevin Durant when he was in Brooklyn was what? When they were in the playoffs against the Milwaukee Bucks and his foot was on the line. Like, that was the most memorable moment.
That's an oops and not a no.
Exactly.
To use Lindsay's terminology.
Exactly. So, if your most memorable on-court moment was an oops and not a ooh, then yeah, you don't deserve the video tribute. And Kevin Durant was right for saying that he didn't want one.
I also think it's relative to expectations, right? When you assembled that group in Brooklyn, you expected them to win a title, if not multiple titles. For some organizations, somebody might get a video tribute that just helped a turnaround and help you get to the playoffs. But the expectations of what that group should have been was nowhere near met. So I think that that also plays into it.
One more question on this, on the rules and regulations. What about how you exit? In other words, James Harden exited Houston in a complete and utter disaster. But has
the fat suit.
Right. So but has the criteria.
He went Sherman Clump on him.
He has the criteria, though, of getting the video tributes. So what about how you exit?
Ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
Right?
Yeah, how you exit. But I guess with the Kevin Durant situation, nobody could blame him. Like, Kyrie Irving had become
so
toxic.
But I'm saying, if you ran the Rockets and Harden came back, would you have given him the video tributes?
Oh, hell no.
But I think they did. Did they not? They must.
I guess that's the world we live in with today's NBA. But yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, how you leave actually matters. Like, Kyrie Irving's probably not going to get a video tribute.
T.O. with the Eagles video.
Yeah, exactly. That's
just it's just sit-ups in the driveway. That's the video tribute.
No, you don't get a video tribute under those circumstances.
By the way, you mentioned that you're upset. Not upset that you didn't get a video tribute. That you didn't get one during the course of your career. By the way,
no, I'm not upset.
No, I know. I didn't mean to say upset.
But you're gonna get some. We're signing the petition. We're going on tour. Yeah.
You may be upset about this. Did you see the? There was an all-time Super Bowl rankings list on ESPN.com.
Yes, I'm aware.
And where is your team? Your Super Bowl team?
Next to last?
The second worst Super Bowl winning team ever?
They basically said you're the second weakest Super Bowl winner ever. But you know what they call us? World champions.
That's right.
So that's all that matters. Like, I got a Tiffany's ring that has a lot of diamonds in it and got four Super Bowl trophies on it for the New York Giants. We won their fourth championship. So, yeah, you can say whatever you want, but we beat everybody, including the quarterback that's acknowledged as the best of all time in Tom Brady, and the coach that's acknowledged as the best of all time in Bill Belichick. So miss me with all of that. If you're going to say that Belichick is the greatest coach of all time and that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time and we're the team that beat him, then you got to give us our props. I don't understand why you're saying we're the second weakest Super Bowl team.
I also think the fact that you guys did lose four straight and had to overcome some adversity makes you special.
No doubt. And we had the third toughest strength of schedule.
Yeah.
So, like, well, what are we talking about? Just because we didn't win double-digit games, because we're the only team that won a Super Bowl that didn't win double-digit games, I don't think that should be held against us.
I don't either.
At least it doesn't bother you at all. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
That's the headline on the resume. Champion.
ESPN cool. Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.